Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from beautiful Florida. And with me is my co-host.
Good morning, afternoon, and evening, everyone. Reverend Lori B. Thank you all for joining us. And if you're listening in the archive, thank you for listening. Hi, Lord Don. How are you?
I'm good. It has been quite the week for me.
Yes.
Last weekend, I was at the Spring Mysteries Festival in Washington State, which is not Florida. It was a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I am aware now that I do not have clothing suitable for Washington State anymore. I have to bear this in mind on the next occasion I go there and find something warmer to take with.
I was wondering if you realized it would be more like Chicago weather, probably a little colder.
You know, I did. I've been there before. I think I underestimated the effect of being right on the water, for one thing.
Oh.
And maybe, you know, maybe it's just been so long since I've been in the north at this time of year.
Right.
But I had my complement of suits, and I figured my suits would keep me warm. They normally do. And at this time in Chicago, I mean, that's what I'd be wearing. I probably wouldn't
right.
be wearing a big, heavy coat. But yeah, it was cooler than I expected. It was delightful. It was a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
Awesome.
Wonderful event, and I highly recommend it to anybody. And
wonderful
people.
And
then I came home, and on the way home, as I'm going through the airport, I open my messages, and lo and behold, they've been trying to reach me all day to get me on this radio network called Pagans Tonight for Circle Talk. And, for the 10th anniversary of the Pentacle Quest.
Yeah.
And, and it so happens that when they want me on the show, I'm going to be in an airplane. So I call Lady Selena and I apologize for not being able to come on and, suggest that maybe if she goes a little over, I can show up for the very end, maybe, depending on if the plane gets in okay. And when we finish our talk, I look up and the plane has been delayed. And suddenly I'm not going to be in the air when the show is on. And I won't even start boarding until half an hour into it. So I ended up being the first guest that evening. And we talked about the Pentacle Quest, which was a really big, important thing.
Yes.
That that circle, that Aquarian Tabernacle, that the Corellian tradition were all involved in, and many others.
Absolutely.
And it's interesting how often people don't remember it now.
Right.
But so many people are newer to the community than that.
Yeah.
But 10 years ago, it was a huge deal.
Yep.
And, you know,
and
I think now
they're up to their 200th. Tombstone with a pentacle or a religious pagan symbol on it?
They might well be, yeah.
Wonderful.
I frequently wear my Order of the Pentacle decoration for formal events. And I wore it throughout this last weekend, and I got more people recognizing it than usual.
Oh, wow.
But I also had a lot of people who had no idea what it was.
Okay.
So it was very interesting. It was a wonderful weekend, and I got to meet people that I've corresponded with but never met in person. I got to meet people that I've known for years but not seen recently, and I got to meet a lot of new people I hadn't met before, and all of them were delightful.
Wonderful.
There's not a negative thing I could say. Not that I would
fantastic.
Anyway, but there was nothing. It was a wonderful time, and people could not have been nicer.
Fantastic.
And
I saw many of your pictures.
Oh, yes, yes. Beautiful
they
pictures,
were,
beautiful location.
yes. And the beach was just a sight for sore eyes.
It was very beautiful and chilly, but very
yes.
beautiful.
And we have other exciting news also today.
Mm-hmm.
The Right Reverend Alyssa Maxim Kemp gave birth to a brand new Australian baby today. Congratulations to you and Justin. Mabel Jean, welcome to the earth.
Congratulations, Alyssa and Justin.
She
sent a photo out showing her with the baby, and she's just a very sweet little baby. The look on her face is, what happened?
Yep.
What have you done? But we're very happy that all went well. And
it did.
Yay.
Yay is right.
Poor Alyssa
can't
was so afraid she was going to give birth during lustration.
I know.
And happily.
And Lady Wendy and I didn't help it any.
Well, you know, Lady Crystal originally did this back.
Yeah.
Before she was actually pregnant. And so when she came up pregnant, she was very concerned. And however, for various reasons, including that and the fact that I was to be at Spring Mystery Festival, we moved the lustration day, which originally was supposed to be this weekend.
Right.
When she exactly would have given birth. So how cool is that?
It is very cool, although I would have loved for her to have given birth during lustration.
I think
so
everyone
bad. But I know.
Would have been thrilled with that. Speaking of lustration, we have a new adventure page at Corellian.com celebrating the lustration, and it includes links to all the videos and all that good stuff. And if
Wonderful.
You go to Corellian.com, you'll find that. Yay. It,
awesome.
And of course, this weekend is Earth Day.
The video is fantastic. It is Earth Day tomorrow.
People will be celebrating that. We're doing a picnic here in Jacksonville.
Oh, great.
And, the illustration videos came out nicely. And it's the first event that we have live streamed with reasonable success. We've done some live streaming in the past, but never so much and never so well. And since you were the one doing a great deal of that, congratulations.
Thank you.
It was cool.
It was.
And,
it was very cool. I love how the illustration video came out.
Yeah.
Yes, Spring Mysteries.
I did not do a lot of filming there. Because it's not really a filming festival, but I did a fireside chat with Archpriestess Belladonna and High Priest Dusty, and that was recorded and will be coming out next week.
Beautiful.
And I did a relatively long interview with Lady Belladonna in the Hecate Shrine while I was
wonderful.
At the ATC headquarters, and that will be coming out next week.
Fantastic.
As well.
So among your pictures of all the shrines, we got to see up and close all of the very, very large statues that Bella and Dusty have moved from Georgia back to ATC headquarters. And, wow, absolutely beautiful.
It is beautiful. It is beautiful. And of course, it decided to rain when it was time to go to the headquarters, but better then than the festival. And I guess it had been raining everywhere else but the festival, because they have some pretty good weather magic.
Very good.
But so I didn't get to necessarily tour the grounds as extensively as I would have liked to. But we got some good pictures.
There'll be other years. Yes, the pictures
were
beautiful.
They will.
And speaking of the Spring Mystery Festivals. We have a guest on tonight.
We have a guest?
We have a guest.
Yay.
And he is actually from ATC.
Oh, no.
Did I lose you?
No, I'm here. Good evening.
Okay.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Lord Don. Hi, Reverend Lori.
This is Silent Moondogs, and he is part of ATC, Aquarian Tabernacle Church. And you were and have been at the Spring Mystery Festival, yes?
This is my second year attending Spring Mystery, so I've gotten to see the full mysteries.
Wonderful.
And this is, I believe, the 32nd year for the Spring
That's
Mysteries
right.
as well.
Wow.
Which is pretty good.
Wow. So that's actually going on longer than the Pagan Picnic.
Yeah, that's longer than the picnic. Not the oldest festival in the country, but not too far short of it.
Wonderful. So what can you tell us about the festival?
Actually, there's quite a lot that you can talk about. It's the rituals themselves that we don't. As you've mentioned, it's been going on for 32 years. It's a celebration of the rites of Eleusis, which go back thousands of years. And the scholars at the Aquarian Tabernacle Church, the ATC, have recreated the abduction of the Kore by Hades and her subsequent return as Persephone. And you spend
wow.
4 days, and the ritual takes part over several days, in upstate Washington State, Fort Flagler, absolutely stunning, beautiful grounds. And as Lord Don mentioned, we had a little bit of cloudy weather on Thursday, but the rest of the weekend, the bluest skies you'll ever see. And that's the beauty of living in the Pacific Northwest. And, you know, aside from the ritual and the mysteries are broken into two parts, and we can chat a little bit at high level what those are, we have merchants. We had 16 workshops put on by members of the pagan community. There are always interviews, and Lady Bella is always very good about bringing in many people, and people from outside the ATC tradition, such as Lord Don, Oberon Zell, Felina Fox, many others. There's just a lot of camaraderie. We all sleep in the local barracks on site at Fort Flagler, so you get to see and spend time with people that, as you say, you only correspond with. The church also uses Second Life to run daily devotionals, and our online school, the Wolstenstein Theological Seminary, so you're getting to meet lots of people in person.
Wonderful. So you have a wonderful story to share with us from last year.
I do. It's how I came by the name Silent Moondog. It's actually one of those things, and there are God shrines all around the festival, and you get to visit with them every year, and they're listed. Right? This is, again, one of the things you can talk about. There's shrines for Demeter, for the Kore, for Apollo, for Zeus, and many others. I went to the Apollo shrine last year, and went to see the oracle. And the priests and priestesses are invoked as different deities, and the oracle was there. And I've been searching for a magical name, as many of us take. And it was one of those, be very sure about what your intent is and what you're wishing for. So I walk up to the, yeah, that's how it started. I walk up to the oracle, and she starts with this low chuckle. And I go, that's not usual. And she's veiled. Yeah, she did that too. And then she looks down at me and says, you like? And I said, well, I'm searching for a new name. And she gives the same little chuckle. And she goes, all right, I charge you with three things. This night, you are to walk on a beach, in a field, and in a forest. And I get another little chuckle, and she lapses back, and she's done. And I said, okay, I know what I need to do. I asked for something, and I may have probably needed to be more specific, but it's a lesson that we all learn. So that night, everyone's asleep. I go out, and Lord Don, if you remember the walk down to the sea, I did in pitch darkness. I did take a flashlight with me, but I can see fairly well in the dark. That's a gift that I'm bestowed by my patron. I get down to the beach, and there's absolutely nothing there. And I'm looking around for something, and all I can hear are the waves crashing, and I look up, and it's a full moon.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't think I'm going to find anything else. So I walk back up, and it's about a quarter-mile walk. And I'm looking around thinking, all right, I need to be in the right frame of mind. I need to be open. And I get into the field, and a dog comes running up. And the dog is howling its head off, and I'm thinking, oh, no, he's going to wake everybody up. And he's running around me in circles and barking and yelping. And I'm looking around for a sign of something else, and it's just the dog. And again, I wait a few more minutes. And so I said, okay, time to go into the forest. He follows me to the edge of the forest, and I have this Hagrid moment of where he's talking to his dog. And I go, well, if you're going to keep barking, why don't you come with me? And the dog falls silent. And I walk into the forest. No bird song, no insects. And if you remember, on the way to the sea, Lord Don, we had so many bees following us. There's no insect sound. There's nothing chirping. It is just absolutely silent. And I come back out, and so my three companions were silence, the full moon, and the dog. I decided not to go with silent moon barking dog, so I've taken the name, and I've actually designed a tattoo that I'm going to put on my arm. I need to finish it. So that's how I became silent moon dog.
Well, that's wonderful. But
that is very cool.
There was nothing silent about that dog.
There was nothing. I was sure that the lights were going to go on and people were going to come out and go, what is going on? Because and no one's ever seen that. The dog wasn't here this year. And that was the only time I saw the dog the entire 4 days that we were there. And it's not like the rangers have, you know, there are rangers who are at the park who stay, and none of the pilgrims bring family pets that you're allowed to, and we're the only ones there. So whether it was a wild dog or Artemis decided I needed a dog, someone decided that I needed a dog in my name, which has many great connotations, that's what happened.
So what happened to the dog?
Well, when I went into the forest, I couldn't see the dog anymore. But all I know is he went silent. He just stopped barking as soon as I stepped into the woods. And it's those deep woods behind the shrines. And I walked through them, and I couldn't hear him. And I came back out, and he wasn't there anymore.
Okay, so he was gone after that.
Yeah.
So possibly it was a sign, and that's why nobody got woken up by the barking of the dog?
That's a really good point. I think that maybe the dog was only there for me to hear. And I needed to hear a lesson. I was looking for something. You know, I've been on a personal spiritual journey for over 2 years. It will be a journey of a lifetime. But it was something that I thought that was important that I needed to do in this stage of my life, having re-entered Wicca, and having found the ATC and a community that's welcomed and embraced me, so I thought that, you know, let's go, because so many of us take other names for many reasons. And
right.
This was just something that I thought I needed to do, and you get what your intent, you put your intent out to the universe, and deity responds. We teach this in many traditions.
Yes. And that couldn't be more true. Today, as Lady Alyssa was on her way to the hospital, in preparations of having a baby, the car next to her, the license plate said, "Breathe."
Sorry, what did the license plate say?
So, yeah, the universe sent her a message, "Breathe. It's going to be okay."
Oh, breathe. Wonderful.
Yes, breathe.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So,
the universe will do that.
Yes. Yes. That's why I'm just interested on what happened to the dog afterwards, because you're saying it was so loud, and possibly it was just a manifestation there for you.
It's very possible. I haven't seen it since, and I've been back there several times, and you know, we didn't see it the rest of the weekend.
Wow. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, great way to come by a name.
It's better than having made it up myself, because I'm terrible at naming things, so.
At least it's not Raven. There's nothing with Raven in it, because I think everybody goes with Morgan something or Raven something. It's definitely unique and original.
It's unique, and it's memorable, and the tattoo, I've used pictoglyphs, the oldest pictoglyphs for silence, the moon, and dog that I could find. I'm not really happy about it's a Chinese pictoglyph. It's a very elaborate set of squiggles. It looks the way it looks to me. It's not a paw print, it's a set of squiggles, but it's getting there. I think it's almost done.
Okay, so you're using the Chinese emblem for dog?
Yes, but it's such an old emblem. It predates modern Chinese writing. It was carved onto a wall.
Yes. So also, you might want to check. I mean, just check Japanese. I know they're very similar.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes the Japanese symbols can be a little nicer.
Thank you. We'll try that.
I mean, it's a tattoo. It's going to be on your body forever. Make sure you love it.
Yes. I only have one tattoo today, so that's
awesome.
It's very important.
Yeah. So what kind of workshops went on there this weekend?
All kinds of really good ones. There was a lucid dreaming workshop. There was sacred drumming. Lady Bella taught a workshop on invocation. There was calling animal spirit guides. There was one on silence meditation. We had a green man tent for men's sacred mysteries, women's, and a purple tent for LGBTQ people in the community. If you go to springmysteries.com, you'll be able to see the entire list.
That's fantastic. Lord Don, did you do a workshop this year?
Yes, I did a workshop on Corellian ideas about the soul and the universe.
Oh, wonderful.
It was pretty
Sorry,
cool. It was a very interesting conversation.
We like those workshops. Very cool. And were any of the workshops able to be videoed or filmed?
Say that again.
Were any of the workshops able to be filmed?
Not for Magic TV. I don't know
okay.
if anyone is doing anything else.
We're very specific about not taking pictures or videos, because not everyone is comfortable having their image out on the internet. So it requires permission of everyone. So in general, the workshops usually aren't photographed or videoed.
Okay.
There will be lots of great pictures of the shrines, of the site, but generally fewer of people. Oh.
Right. So you said there were merchants. I wasn't aware that there were merchants there, that you could have had a vending opportunity.
Oh, yes. At every one of the two major events, Spring Mysteries and Hecate Sickle Festival, there's a whole merchant call. There's probably a dozen this year, and we had someone who's a professional at running merchant halls. She runs one every first Sunday of the month. We probably had a dozen between readers, people doing wire wrapping, selling different pagan merchandise, handcrafted items, someone doing essential oils, and then some of the Evergreen Hearth was selling canned pickle or jarred pickles that they had made. So we've got just all sorts of people from the community doing readings, selling merchandise, and it's very, it's just great to have people being able to do that.
That's wonderful. That sounds like a beautiful 4 days.
It is. It is. And the experience that I had, you will probably get that same type of experience from everyone. Everyone is moved and touched in different ways. There is a lot of emotion, a lot of energy, and people having very special experiences, including the people who are holding the different deities. And, you know, the editor-in-chief of Panagyria has talked about how much holding Athena has really transformed her and her daily, the daily things in her life.
Okay. So tell us a little bit more about you. I know you're doing a lot of work with Pagan Pride in Washington State.
That's right. My time is split between obviously the sort of mundane world and really trying to work with other pagans in the community, doing as much outreach in the Washington State community. So being a part of Pagan Pride, we hold an event every year. And in fact, that's October 7th and 8th in Tacoma. And tomorrow we're having an open event in Tacoma, just to bring people in from the community. There's a lot of solitary practitioners, people who are not comfortable being openly pagan or Wiccan or Asatru or any of the other traditions. And what I've tried to do working with many others is we do a lot of writing. We hold events publicly, trying to do some other interfaith outreach to the Catholic, the Jain, the Baha'i, the Hindu, the Jewish communities, so that, you know, there's a lot of understanding. There's lots of misconceptions all around that we can do. And I think it makes everybody stronger to do that. And I also just try to be visible in the local community. And I think setting that example helps other people. Twice monthly, I do what we call men's mysteries, or what is it like to be a pagan man in today's modern society? Because popular media, society, culture tell us all of these things that we need to do. And there's so much that we're overwhelmed with. There's really a lot of good questions that come up from people who are trying to figure out why are they relevant, what's their place. And what I'm trying to do is provide that safe space for men to do it. And I do it at the Metaphysical Market in Seattle for Sunday and third Sunday at Crescent Moon. And there's a women's group that's been formed at Metaphysical Market as well. And I know the the founder is looking for one for the other, for the LGBT. I always get that wrong. I'm so sorry. LGBTQT communities as well, so that everybody's got a safe place to talk about those issues. And sometimes it's not super serious, but it's, you know, it just keeps, it builds community, it builds camaraderie, and it makes life, you know, I think a lot more enjoyable. And so
it's a very important thing to have a safe place, especially in now of times.
Indeed.
Wonderful. And there aren't that many, Lord Don, correct me if I'm wrong, but there aren't that many male groups within the pagan community that are showing men that it's okay to worship a goddess.
Well,
and the god,
you know,
at the same time. And
I think a lot of emphasis gets put on the fact that there tend to be more women in the pagan movement than men, but I'm not entirely sure that that's as accurate as it's given credit for in some ways. Because if you look at other religions, you see that women tend to be very heavily involved in religion in general. Not necessarily so much more so in ours than others, but the difference is in the pagan movement, they can also hold high position and often do. If you were to look, I think, at many many Judeo-Christian churches, you'd see a very similar activity level in which women would be involved, but not as highly placed. And I think for some reason, I don't know, I think it's like we have a complex about it. I was part of a panel at the Parliament of World Religions many years ago called Men and the Goddess. And the theme of the panel was something to the effect of how can men be relevant in a goddess-centered religion. And I pointed out that for Roman Catholic men, the Mother Mary is a central religious figure, and nobody has ever asked them why they feel relevant.
Very good point.
Yeah, I mean, Christian men have no difficulty approaching the Theotokos, the Mother of God. Why should pagan men feel odd about having a goddess? People in traditional Chinese religion, men in traditional Chinese religion, have many goddesses. Buddhist men have Kuan Yin, for example. In Japanese religion, in Hinduism, men interact with goddesses all the time, and nobody thinks that this is somehow odd. I don't understand why the current pagan movement seems to have internalized the idea that it somehow is a strange thing. There's nothing strange about it anywhere else in the world.
I'll give you a thought, because I'd love to find a way, or I would love to hear people find an interesting way to solve this. The observation that I've made is that if you're not white and you belong to a polytheistic religion, it's completely acceptable and understood. But I think that what happens is there is some, whether it's stigma or it's not, but you've made an excellent, excellent point. In other faiths, people just let it be, and there is no difference. But we do have created this stigma for some reason, and it would be wonderful.
Part of it is that it gets carried over, and a lot of our people don't do their shadow work. They don't analyze why they're holding that prejudice. And they just keep going forward with it, and I think that's very sad. Because it's not logical, but they've not usually thought about it in ways that are divorced from other religions, specifically Judeo-Christian religions.
And you would think that a pagan coming from a Christian religion would be more in tune to worshiping or dealing with a goddess see that Mary is such, and Mother Teresa, and many, many female saints are such a very large part of their beliefs.
It's that leads into lots of different things. I think part of it also is homophobia. I think that's a big part of the problem, that the community as a whole really needs to take a good hard look at how we feel about those issues too. Because there's more of that in the community than you would expect, or at least than I would expect. But then I come from the very accepting end of the community, but not all ends of the community are.
Right.
I didn't think
that was either. I thought that it was more open in the pagan community. But I do see where there is still not understanding and much conflict.
Yeah. Well, that's unfortunate. I think we all need to take all acts of love and pleasure are my rituals attitude towards that. And your sexuality is your sexuality, and there's nothing wrong with it.
Exactly.
Excuse me. This is, your
true.
Switchboard operator. Yes, we have someone that's calling in. Are you taking call-ins?
We can.
Sure.
Okay, well, there's a Dennis from North Carolina, and I will bring him online.
Hello.
Dennis, you're on. Hello.
Hi, for taking my call. Thank you.
Welcome, Dennis, from my home state.
I'm sorry?
From my home state.
Oh, beautiful. Awesome. I love it here. I had a quick question about the Pope, if you guys have the time. What do you think his current political involvement is, aside from the charade that we see every day?
Ooh.
Well, which of the seven Christian popes are you referring to? The Roman Catholic, or the Coptic, or one of the others?
The Roman Catholic.
Or were you aware that there were more than one?
Well, I'm talking about the Pope, the one with the big giant penis.
You're talking to pagans.
The butthole, the dirty anus, the crusty butt, the shit stinky vanity pus.
Okay. So many people, Lord Don, are not aware that there are over 78 popes.
The one that's on the goddamn Time magazine.
Why has no one silenced this fool? Silence him now. Make a note of his number, block him forever.
Yes, thank you.
Well, we haven't had an idiot like that in a long time.
It's been a very long time. I think that that threw me for a second.
My apologies.
That's
that was
okay.
A Skype call.
And you know, it was Skype. Okay. And it's funny because when you said North Carolina, I'm like, oh, okay, my home state. It's a very, very Christian state. Let's see who's gonna.
Well, to be honest, when he mentioned Pope, I knew there was a problem because it's not relevant to anything we're talking about. But hopefully, I at least threw him for a second. I see no way to make this relevant to our conversation, but
yes.
You make it a teaching moment. People like this wonder later why they get bad feeling back.
Right.
When you act badly, it tends to be remembered. And not really sure what else to say to it, but where were we? Where were we before this interesting?
We were talking about all the community work that Silent Moon Dog is doing. Back on a happy note.
And
I can't imagine what Tawadros II did to the caller, but anyway, that would be the Coptic Pope. But go ahead.
Yes.
Used to be Shenouda II. Now it's Tawadros II.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. So what else is going on there? What else can you tell us? Plug whatever you need to plug.
Well, we do two festivals a year, since you asked. The next one that's coming up towards the end of October is Hecate's Sickle Festival. Sickle.me is the URL, and the website went live today. So I know that we're already signing up people for that, and that is a celebration of the goddess Hecate in her three forms. And this year we'll be celebrating the queen, and there's lots more information on the website, and there's a host of things that the ATC provides. ATCWicca.org is a great resource to learn more about the Aquarian Tabernacle Church, which has affiliates all over the U.S., and Reverend Terry Riley and Ivy Moon joined us from Southern Delta Church of Wicca. They were on stage with Lord Don briefly, and Terry was talking about leadership in the pagan community, which I think we can use as much and as many leaders are as willing to be public like yourselves, which I applaud highly. You know, it's a little difficult for some of us, and I think those are topics I would love to see more of at future festivals, and we're going to try doing some more public things here with Pagan Pride, and there's Pagan Pride groups, of course, around the United States, and there's a national group. Would love to hear of other leadership things that you're doing within the Corellian tradition.
Nice. I just recently posted an article where a man came out to his family about being pagan. And I think it was absolutely beautiful what his mom said to him. They're a family of four, very Christian. One brother's atheist. He's pagan. So the mother was very, very welcoming and accepting of it because at least he believes in something. He has faith in something. I think a lot of people approach it the wrong way when they approach their family or when they're hiding it. And I've said this to many of my family members, well, be happy at least I believe in something. Be happy at least I have faith in something. And I think that has changed their perspective tremendously.
Well, you know, this goes back to that idea of interfaith language, of using the language that the people you're talking to understand.
Right.
And emphasizing commonalities. And I think that to approach it from the point of view of, you know, we both believe, we just believe differently, is probably a fairly good way to approach it.
Yes.
That's pretty powerful. As long as it doesn't matter who you pray to, as long as we all pray together, I think that's incredibly well said.
Exactly. There was a rabbi that did a candle visual once, and I'll light a candle for you. If you light a candle for me, we can light all our flames together. Even though they're four different gods or goddesses, they're still one flame.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. And that's a wonderful sentiment, and hopefully we can see more of that.
Yes.
And we need to
start
the dialogue. And we need to figure out how to start the dialogue in our communities and larger cities and continue to take it on the road and make sure that we connect with each other and fortunately, we have the internet that allows us to stay connected through Facebook groups, LinkedIn, Twitter, and obviously all the websites that, that every tradition holds, supports.
Yep. Oh, Lord Don, you're going to love this. So
okay.
Silent didn't know about Magic TV.
Ah.
So, go ahead, tell them what you found. Are you there?
Oh, did you mean me?
Yes.
Oh, what I found on Magic TV. Oh, sorry. I found a wonderful memorial for Pete Pathfinder Davis, who is the founder of the ATC. So we've shared that on all of the ATC social media, and it's just a wonderful tribute to Pete. There's some amazing pictures. There's lots of pictures of the two of you together. And that has just been – so thank you for having that. That it means a lot to everybody.
Yep. Pete was a good friend of mine over a long, long period of time. It was very interesting talking with people about Pete at the festival. And I learned some things I didn't know from the latter part of his life. And we talked about a lot of interesting things from earlier that some people had not heard. And because the last time I physically saw Pete would have been, I want to say, 2006. So a few years before he passed, not that long, but a few years. And you know how life can be, that there wasn't a lot of contact after.
Right.
But a wonderful person, extraordinarily wise, I would say. A wonderful influence.
So every year we do a memorial for Pete on social media around the time of his passing. So definitely we'll reach out to you for an interesting story or two, a Pete story.
That'd be wonderful.
Thank you so much.
And were tears all over the place like you were hoping not?
I think that I was at the service where Pete's ashes were scattered in the field at Spring Mysteries at Fort Flagler, which had been such an important part of his life and the tradition. There were a lot of tears. There were a lot of hugs. There were a lot of shared stories. Singing.
Well, I'm glad you were able to find that video. And like I was telling you, there are so many more videos of just about everybody.
A
very large variety. And as I was telling you also about the shows, everything is archived. We have everything saved somewhere. So you type in keywords, you're bound to find it.
Well, I think that's going to give us a lot of opportunity to collaborate and share and post things, cross-post things to the different blogs that we each host, because I think these things need to be known and shared in our larger community.
This is very true, because if we do not, the famous saying is that those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it. And our community has a bad habit of forgetting its past. We were talking earlier about the Pentacle Quest and how many people aren't aware of it just 10 years later. And the Pentacle Quest was a wonderful moment where pretty much everyone in the community came together, which doesn't happen all that often. And that it really should be remembered. And the ATC was right there in the forefront. And it was quite the time.
Well, that's a story. Yes, it is. That we need to document on a broader way. And maybe that's it's just one great place to start where traditions and people came together and share that in the community. And then with others, other faiths, as they've gotten their religious symbols on tombstones, because it was a struggle over the years and a great way, you know, it's not the best place to come together, but it's a place that we come together and acknowledge people have served in the military here and did their service for their country and for their gods and God.
Yeah. Now, I know our station manager is off tonight, Pam, but one good point that she brought up, and nobody really thinks about doing this, but it should be in your papers if you, you know, whether you want to be cremated or buried. If you want to be buried, you have to make sure that that's something that you put on your papers, in writing, that you want this on your tombstone. Because if you come from a Christian family, they may not honor your wishes if it's not written down.
That is a good point, and good for everyone listening who's in active service today and in your own personal life as well. I know I need to take care of that because I now have very strong feelings about what I want to do when I pass.
Yes. Well, I want to be cremated into a tree so we have a Karelian forest starting.
I've seen those. I want to be an oak tree.
Yes, I think they're fabulous. That's what I want to be, in a tree, because that's my tree, the oak. I just think it's beautiful.
And it's a way to show that we will be reborn, and reborn in a very helpful way across many beliefs. Now, I think that's amazing, and that's, yeah.
I had to get the rest of everybody to do that. Yep.
Cemeteries take up a lot of space and resources, but that's some people's faith and tradition, and then should be honored as well.
Absolutely. Definitely. So, well, Don, do you have any questions? We're almost at the end of our hour.
Yes, we are. Well, you know, if people would like to find out more about the Aquarian Tabernacle or the Spring Mysteries Festival or Hecate Sickle, where would they go?
Best place is atcwicca.org. There is a contact page, springmysteries.com, and sickleme, sickle.me.
Wonderful. And there are vending opportunities also at Sickle Me?
There are vending opportunities, there are workshop opportunities, there's plenty of opportunity for sacred service as well.
Oh, wonderful. Fantastic. And what about for your what you're doing with Pagan Pride?
Oh, Puget Sound, paganpride.org. And
what was the first word you said?
Puget Sound. It's
okay.
The body of water here in Washington.
Right. So it's PSPP?
PUGETSOUND paganpride.org. We decided to have the longest title of all the Pride communities.
That's fantastic.
And then if men in the Washington or the Puget Sound area are interested, go to the Metaphysical Market. You can find that on Facebook, or Crescent Moon Gifts in Tacoma. And that's every third Sunday of the month.
Wonderful. Lord Don, does John Anastasio do workshops at the one of the places that he just mentioned? Is that, or is Seattle far from there? Because that name just sounds familiar.
It is Seattle.
Yeah. You know, I don't recognize whether he does definitely or not, but he might.
Okay. Yeah. Wonderful.
It is that area.
Okay. So there's a lot of information out there for everybody listening. If you're in the Washington area, there are pagan groups out there. I know a lot of people have problems finding somewhere to go, someplace to go. If you don't know where to go, hit someone up that you know that does go to places. Definitely use Witchvox.
Yeah, I was about to say Witchvox is another great resource.
And pretty soon you'll be able to use the Jelly Spell Media site to find places and definitely support your pagan pride.
Yes, absolutely. Indeed. Pagan pride
in,
is a wonderful
in any
thing.
State, yes. Because there is where you're going to find everybody involved within the communities of that state. And you'd be surprised that there are a lot more of us than the numbers show.
Yes, there are. I'm always so pleasantly surprised when I talk to people and say, oh, yeah, I'm a bit of solitary, or I practice Native American shamanism, and while it's not a pagan tradition, there are people who understand and are very accepting, and there are many things that we can do together, like meditation and smudging and other rituals.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, we are at the end of our hour now.
It's been a lovely show.
It has been wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
Sorry.
That happens here.
Go ahead.
It happens when you're not sitting across from someone. But I am definitely looking forward to collaborating with you and sharing our media thing. It'll be wonderful. And again, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me. Both been extremely generous with your time. Blessed be.
Thank you.
Blessed be.
Blessed be.
And I'll take us out with a song by Wendy Rule. Radiate.
Wonderful.
And now you're here. And now you're strong. It seems so long ago that I offered that song, and my heart was aflame, and I'd known you so long. Through eons and eons and eons and eons, and oh, that was beautiful. And now you're here, your heart is true, and the blessings I gave are flowing through you, and your hands are alive with the grace that was gifted to you by the sun and the moon. Beautiful, 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 radiate your inner soul. It's all up to you. You're not fated to follow your wife. There's magic in your eyes. bow to the sun? Can I bow to the earth? And I hail the moon for the gift of your birth, and you'll always.
Are a great value. They really do last a lifetime. They've been there for years and they'll be there for years to come. So get your membership today at witchschool.com.
You're listening to Pagan Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagan Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagan Tonight.